I started out thinking we might think this morning about the Lord's Prayer, or as our Catholic friends call it, the Our Father, right? Because I didn't understand for a long time actually why that was the case, but actually if we look in John chapter 17, we see the actual Lord's Prayer. That is in fact the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. And so what our Catholic friends call the Our Father is prayer that we think of as the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And I thought about considering that because it starts with those words that were so shocking at the time. Our Father. Jewish people at the time knew of the Father. The Father over all heaven and earth. But to use such an intimate term as our Father, or even worse, my Father, or even worse, Abba, which means daddy, was a very shocking thing for Jesus to start doing. And so to get a concept of the damage that was being done to people's brains when Jesus was using these terms, I thought we might have a look at the Lord's Prayer. But I really only wanted to talk about those two words there, Our Father, so I've done that. And as I was sort of looking through, I thought, well, how is it that we see God as our Father? How are we to consider God as our Father? Is there anything else that Jesus gave us to help us understand, to help us fathom what it is for God to be our Father? And not just the Father, you know, the Father of light, the Father of all created things, but our Father. You know, a language that really insists on an intimacy, on a personal relationship. Gone wonky here. I've gone backwards too far. There we are. And there's a particular parable which kind of wasn't really told us, really, the purpose of it wasn't necessarily to tell us things about God as Father, but to make its point, Jesus had to show us something about God as our Father. And it's one of those three parables in Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And so I'm just going to read that passage to us. And I'd like us to think about this passage as revealing that intimate relationship of God as Father and as challenging us about how we respond to God as our Father. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So I just want to consider a few things there about how the Father is revealed to us in this parable. And as I say, the purpose of the parable was actually to get stuck into the Pharisees for being like the older brother. That was the point of the parable at the time, was to show the Pharisees up for being unforgiving and uncaring about others around them. And Jesus was casting them in the parable as the older brother. And that was the sort of the point, if you like. But the relationship, the dynamic of the parable holds true. And what we read of the Father in this parable is true of God as our Father. One thing to notice is the way the Father treated the two sons when there was distance. The younger son, the Father allowed him to go, but watched for his return. He let him go. He gave him what he asked for and he let him go freely. Off he went. But he watched for his return. And when he was still a long way off, the father ran to him and held him. Okay, now, a proud Jewish father would never run. Just not done. But a Jewish daddy would run to his kids. Right? So he wasn't being the proud dad, the householder, the guy in charge of everything at that point. He was concentrating only on his relationship with that son. That was all that was in his head at that time. So he ran to him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The elder son was out in the field. And he refused to go in. So when the father heard that he'd refused to go in, he went out to him. Right? The younger son asked to leave and the father allowed him but watched for his return. The elder son withheld himself from the celebrations, from the father's presence. And so the father went out to where he was to meet him and to sort out what the problem was. So in both cases, the father chose not to act as the important head of the house, CEO of the organisation, leader of the farm, but he chose to act as the loving father looking for reconciliation with his sons. All the rest could be put on hold while he went to find reconciliation with his sons. And we see that also in that other parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd leaves the 99 behind. They can wait, they're under control, they're all okay. I will go and look for reconciliation with the one that's lost. Okay. So that's the nature of the Father in this parable. And then we see, I'm a bit awkward because sermons are supposed to have 3 points. This has really only got two, but that's all right. Then we see the way that the sons respond to that offer of reconciliation. How do the sons react to their father's love? Well, the first son had already decided how he was going to respond. He was going to lower himself as far as he needed. He just wanted to be somewhere near his father because he knew his father was a kind and a loving and a just man. And perhaps even more than just, he was a righteous man who wanted to do well for the people that he cared for. So did you notice the difference between the speech that he rehearsed and the speech that he gave? When he rehearsed the speeches, he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he had a 3-point sermon. Right? I've sinned against heaven and you, no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired servants. When he actually got to speak to the Father, he got this far. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the Father interrupted him. He didn't even want his son to embarrass himself by making that request, just make me a servant. He interrupted him right there when the question at hand was, am I your son? He answered that question and said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. You know, we've heard a story about the best robe somewhere else in the Bible, haven't we? We've heard the story about the best robe of Joseph, right? The best robe that caused problems for his brothers as well. They got upset when he got the best robe, and so did this brother get upset when the younger brother got the best robe. So the father didn't allow his son to demean himself down to that point of begging to be made a servant. As soon as the question arose, am I your son? The father answered it, yes, you are. You've been away, but you've come back. You are my son. So that's how the reconciliation worked with the younger son. How did the offer of reconciliation work with the older son? Interesting play of language again. So the older son says to his father, first of all, he points out what a good son he's been, pointing out his position, how well he's done, what his qualifications are to be the favoured son. I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed you, but you've never even given me a party. But then he comes and he says, when this son of yours, so he's distancing himself from the other brother, when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And you know, I've heard a lot of sermons about the younger son, and they all seem to jump on the bandwagon with this older son about the prostitutes. But did you hear anything when I read the story about prostitutes? All I read is that the guy wasted his money. Waste his money. Now, I might have said dissolute living, right? Squandered his wealth in wild living. Doesn't say the word prostitute there. So the older brother is distancing himself from the younger brother and making assumptions, which we don't know. All he's been told is that his brother's come home. But he says to the father, your son has done this and you've treated him this way. But the father says, my son, you are with me, but we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. So the father is seeking reconciliation, not just between himself and the upset older brother. He's trying to organise reconciliation between his two sons. I mentioned, I think, last week how in everyone drawing closer to God, we find ourselves drawing closer to each other, like the spokes on a bike wheel, yeah? As we try to get closer to God, or as we find ourselves getting closer to God, we end up getting closer to each other. If we look for getting close to each other, we can end up getting close to a couple of people and away from others. But if we all draw close to God, we will all be closer to each other as a byproduct. So the reconciliation that's offered by the father to the older son is a double whammy. He's offering the son the chance to be reconciled with him because he's got something against him. Remember when Jesus says, when you're coming to give your offering and you know that your brother's got something against you, go and sort it out with him? Here's a model of exactly that. The father, there's a party happening. He puts that party on hold because he knows that his older son has something against him. So off he goes to look for reconciliation. Something else that we never know about the end of this story. We know how the younger son responded to the offer of reconciliation, but we are not told how the older son responded. The story finishes there. And so it should, because that was the point of Jesus telling the story, is to leave the Pharisees with a challenge. You're the older brother. How are you going to be reconciled? How are you going to respond to this offer of reconciliation from God? not just to be reconciled with God, but in doing so to be reconciled with each other and with all of God's children. So the challenge was there for the Pharisees, and we don't know in the parable how it was received. We don't know in the gospel how it was received. But as we read the parable for ourselves, we know times when we've been the younger brother, when we've wasted the things that God's given to us that we've asked him for, when we've used the things that God's trusted to us for our own devices, we've come to our senses and we've asked God for forgiveness and we've known reconciliation back with him. But I think we'd be very unusual people indeed if we haven't also been the older brother, where we've been fed up with what God's doing for someone else and we get our nose out of joint and we think that we're more important than someone else that God's doing something for, or someone else that seems to be enjoying some success in church life, or someone else that seems to be having a better life than we are, and we just get upset and our pride rises up and we don't want to know. And we let it come between us and God, and we let it come between us and the other person. And when those things happen, the challenge for us is like the challenge for the Pharisees. Will we hear the voice of God as he offers us reconciliation? As he reaches out to us through Jesus, will we hear the offer of reconciliation to call us home? And in coming home, will we hear the offer of being reconciled to one another, to the people that we might be upset about? So as we think about Father's Day, I just think it's really helpful for us to consider not only that God is our Father, not only that it's a good thing to honour our father and our mother, that our days may be long in the land, but I think it's a good thing for us to consider how we respond to our Father God. And I don't know where any of us are this morning. We might be at the moment the younger son who needs to know that the Father is watching for his return, and the Father will come running, our Father will come running and embrace us and kiss us when we return, when we come back and accept that offer of reconciliation. Some of us today might be the elder son, and we might just be setting our jaw and putting up with everything because we're just fed up with God and we've got an argument against him and we just don't want to know. I'd rather just keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm just fed up with God. So don't ask me. But if that's us this morning, the offer of reconciliation is there as well. The same reconciliation. It's the Father reaching out with the love. The love that cost him his son, the love that cost him the life of Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus. And that reconciliation is available to all of us, wherever we are, whether we are the younger son, whether we are the older son, you know, whether we are even the servants, faithfully going about our thing, there's no problem, everything's all right, and we are witnessing an outpouring of love and an offer of reconciliation to others. And we can look and say, what a father. What a great father this is, who cares for both his sons, who cares for all his people so much. And so I guess the opportunity for us in response today to come running home and know the reconciliation of God, to say thank you to God for the reconciliation that we enjoy, to be reconciled to God and therefore to each other, and even the opportunity for us to be amazed witnesses saying, what a great God we've got, that he puts so much out on the line to make sure that no one should be lost, but that everyone has a chance to be reconciled back to him. Let's pray. Okay. So that's the nature of the Father in this parable. And then we see, I'm a bit awkward because sermons are supposed to have 3 points. This has really only got 2, but that's all right. then we see the way that the sons respond to that offer of reconciliation. How do the sons react to their father's love? Well, the first son had already decided how he was going to respond. He was going to lower himself as far as he needed. He just wanted to be somewhere near his father because he knew his father was a kind and a loving and a just man. And perhaps even more than just, he was a righteous man who wanted to do well for the people that he cared for. So did you notice the difference between the speech that he rehearsed and the speech that he gave? When he rehearsed the speeches, he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" See, he had a three-point sermon.